You're listening to continuing coverage in the suitcase murder, the trial of Sarah Boone, from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now back to the courtroom.
Burden to address the factors under the case. My intention for this afternoon is to have Ms. Boone proceed first with anything that she'd like to tell me. I will hear from the state if they have any position on the matter, and then I'll hear from you, and then the court may be in a position to make a ruling at that time. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
Have a seat back there.
Or wherever you feel most comfortable.
I can just sit back there while she...
Okay, thank you.
Until I'm ready to hear.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, Ms. Boone, you can proceed, ma'am.
First and foremost, I do not know what it is that you are referring to.
When you say you do not know what I'm referring to, what do you mean?
Motions were filed by the WFTV and the Orlando Sentinel.
Yes, ma'am. So there was a motion to intervene for the limited purposes of opposing closure that was filed on August 12th by WFTV. It was sent to you by U.S. mail at the correct inmate legal mail address on August the 12th. And the Orlando Sentinel's motion to intervene and notice of joinder was filed on August 13th. And it reflects, it said the certificate of service was August 13th, and it was sent to you at the same legal mail correspondence address at the Orange County Jail. Have you received either of those motions?
I have not.
Okay, I have copies.
I have a copy.
Oh, perfect. All right. That's why I was saying it. The certificate of service reflects the 13th, but the filing information is of this morning. All right, Ms. Fugate has, I am pronouncing your name correctly, am I not?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Ms. Fugate has provided copies of those motions. So, Ms. Boone, if you'd like to take a look at those, feel free to take your time to review them. And then after you've reviewed them, I may have the opportunity to answer any questions you have about them if I can, and then we can proceed.
There are also some circuit court cases I know are in the report that might
have been filed. If you want to provide those to Ms. Boone as well, you can do so. Thank you. State, do you need a copy of them? All right, thank you, sir.
If I may say,
yes, ma'am.
One of my topics of discussion, as you know, are the requests in regards to laptop and internet being one of the most important. But I have had access to that. I would have already had this and not had to sit here unprepared. I believe that is a major violation to my due process of me not having these in advance to prepare properly and to utilize court's time and everyone else's here by me having to do this now. So I wanted to put that out to you that I am unprepared for this. I did not know that I had a statement to prepare, as everyone else did also prior to being here.
Ma'am, you were provided the case law as you had requested at our last hearing. It was mailed to you. You asked for the case law that the court was making reference to. You specifically asked for it. That was provided to you. It was mailed to you.
Case law?
Yes, ma'am.
What was the date that it was mailed?
August 9. What was provided to you on August 9 was the additional copy of the pro se packet as provided by the Justice Administrative Commission. You were provided a hard copy of that in court, along with the case law that was referenced at the August 9 hearing that the court had said that it had reviewed in anticipation of the hearing that we were having this afternoon.
I don't have that. The thing that I was provided was the notice of provision of witness list from the state and then the JAC packet.
Those were both provided to you in court. You are correct. The balance of the things that I'm speaking about were mailed to you at the legal mail address on August 9.
Which I have yet to see.
Okay. Ma'am, with regard to...
This is the first time I'm seeing each one of these documents.
I understand that. They were filed August 12th, and unfortunately this morning due to an issue with the e-portal.
I wouldn't have internet access anyway to receive those.
They were sent to you via U.S. mail as well.
Yesterday?
Yes. So you're not wasting the court's time. You can feel free to review those at this time.
Is this the case law you're referring to?
I believe that those are the circuit court opinions that are referenced in WFTV's motion, which cite to the Miami Herald versus Lewis decision, which is the controlling law on this matter.
And these are mine to take. Right, I'm over there. because there's only so much that I just now received. I have any opportunity to look up any case law of my own meantime, so.
You can proceed, ma'am. What is it that you'd like to tell me about your concerns regarding the September 3rd evidence viewing that's been previously scheduled?
My concerns, it is regarding my case and the whatever is left evidence that is not already on the internet or posted anywhere on social media. And I'm wondering what the reasons for the court, other than sensationalism and exploitation, purpose would be for them to watch me look at the remaining bit of my evidence that has not been globalized. Again, my main concern is it is for exploitation purposes, which has already been greatly applied to my case in many, many ways globally again. And I see on a couple of, on the motion to intervene for WFTVs, my question is, why is this an important criminal proceeding? And why do they need to have it monitored? I don't understand the reasons why just for this one. I'm not asking for all of my other hearings to be closed. Simply, this is my one and only. It is my right to have some kind of privacy regarding my case. Nonetheless, it is an active case, and it's my understanding that some information is not able to be publicized due to privacy, and it's not their right to pry and exaggerate, which is the whole point of why they want to be included in this one and only most important hearing that I would say that I have on the horizon. The press doesn't have a right to press themselves into everything in regards to my criminal, active criminal case, and I feel that from this one meeting should be closed to the press so I can rightfully, lawfully do what I need to do in order to properly, rightfully, and lawfully defend myself. At this point, I feel that there's nothing even suppressible in my case that is not already on the internet and have been spread all on the internet. I'm trying to salvage whatever it is that I can possibly to have a card to play at least one in the end during my trial. I do not feel that it is right lawfully to have them included in this hearing, this one hearing, and I am asking for their admittance to be closed. Okay. This is an active, ongoing investigation.
Anything else, ma'am?
No, Your Honor.
State, do you have any position on Ms. Boone's closure motion?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Fugate?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think Ms. Boone's argument really flips the question. It's not why the media wants to be there. What transpires in the courtrooms, even pretrial hearings, is public property, and there's a right to be there. I'm not going to go over the Lewis test because I know Your Honor knows it well, but it's a very strict standard, and it's the plaintiff's burden to meet. I haven't seen a case in Florida where a criminal case was closed on a defendant's privacy concerns. We're not talking about third-party privacy concerns or something that's not inherent in the proceeding. This is the evidence. And even with respect to the evidence and it being an active, still an active case, Florida law is clear that once discovery is provided to the defendant and accessible to the defendant, that becomes public record. That too becomes open to the public. So with respect to the first part of the analysis, I don't think the defendant has established that this hearing needs to be closed to protect her fair trial rights. Publicity isn't necessarily synonymous with prejudice. She has to show widespread, adverse, hostile publicity, and then specifically show why that publicity is going to be aggravated by access to the September 3rd hearing. The discovery in this case has been public. I'm not sure what specifically would be aggravated by access to the hearing. So I don't think she's met that first burden under Lewis. And importantly, the admissibility of evidence, Ms. Boone said she didn't think there was anything suppressible, but even if there was, courts often suppress evidence but still allow access to the hearings and the evidence themselves. That's fairly routine. That alone, just the potential admissibility, that alone is not a sufficient reason under Lewis to close a hearing. And as Your Honor is aware, there's plenty of alternatives under the second factor to protect the defendant's fair trial rights. You know, careful questioning and jury selection can protect against publicity. The courts of this circuit have had their fair share and are well familiar with high-profile cases, and they are well equipped to insulate and protect juries from even prejudicial publicity. And finally, any closure would have to be effective and broader than necessary. Again, I'm not sure why the hearing would need to be closed, but I think even Ms. Boone has indicated it would be ineffective with what's already out there. And that was a consideration under Lewis. If the information is out there, the discovery in this case has been public, there's no reason to close a hearing that's simply going to discuss things that have already been made public. I think heightened public attention only increases the need for transparency. Closure of judicial proceedings is a drastic remedy, and I don't believe the plaintiff has met her burden in this case, Your Honor. Okay. Unless you have any other questions.
I do not.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Any closing remarks from you, Ms. Boone? concerns?
Yes, Your Honor. First, I'm only asking for this one hearing, which is a very important hearing. I believe that the press is simply in it for ratings and publicity. My evidence is active, and I'm trying to salvage the little bit of anything that I have pertaining to my evidence that is not available online, which would be in that hearing. And I also heard she was speaking in regards to once discovery has been received, it is therefore public record. I just received my discovery the first time, and I'm still reviewing most, if not all of it. And I have not had the time to go through all of it, but I literally, on the record, just received my discovery to even have an opportunity to prepare to review any of that. And in regards to the hostile publicity, I have letters, I have messages, I have tablet information, I have an entire folder dedicated to publicity in more than one way as being hostile, good, bad, ugly. It's publicity. This will incredibly enhance my inopportunity to have a fair trial because of the already millions of viewers that I have in my case, literally in my case. This would just contribute to it even greater. I'm not asking for all hearings to be closed. I've not had an opportunity to review my discovery, which I just received. I have an entire folder and more information and letters and evidence in regards to publicity, hostile, any type of emotion that you can come up with, I have received from Australia being the most recent. So I do not believe just because they would like to, again, in my opinion, for ratings and for publicity. It's one hearing. There also is a solution that I believe, my understanding was that this could be held at the Orange County Sheriff's Department. The question was in regards to transport, which is a possibility. It was a matter of the decision being with the court. I would like to be able to properly prepare for this, what I have received everything prior as everyone else did. Having the internet would have helped also in regards to receiving the notice via email, as everyone else had. I'm sitting in front of you, yes, unhandcuffed, but I am unprepared for this rebuttal in regards for me to have privacy, expected privacy to a certain degree, and by law, to have this one hearing closed. And we also have an active case that is ongoing, active evidence, and there's a solution for it to be held at the Orange County Sheriff's Department as well.
Anything else from the state?
I wasn't going to bring it up until after ruling on the motion, but parties have reached an agreement to do this on our own. As soon as that's accomplished to both of our satisfaction, then I'll let the court know.
Okay, we'll address that momentarily. Ms. Fugate, anything else? All right. Under the Miami Herald versus Lewis case, ma'am, Ms. Boone, you had the burden of producing evidence and proving by a greater weight of the evidence that closure is necessary. What has been presented today has failed to meet that burden. Your motion to close the September 3rd viewing is denied. The court will follow up with a written order that you'll be hand-delivered today. Ms. Fugate, if you don't have no longer any business before this court, you are free to go, ma'am. Thank you. Have a pleasant afternoon. Mr. J. Yes, ma'am.
Forgive. When you stated to the court that my motion was oral, was this during the last hearing that we had?
You requested this both, ma'am, on August 5 and on August 9.
What was it specifically that I requested?
You had requested privacy with regard to the September 3rd hearing, and I advised you that I needed to look at the law on it, and you asked again on September 9th when we were going to address it. I said that we would address it on the 14th. You asked for copies of the law, and those were mailed to you on the 9th.
Which I have yet to receive. And I was not aware of, I was uninstructed by anyone in the court, including yourself, that that was an oral motion. If I needed to actually do a proper motion, I would have correctly done so.
That's why we had the hearing, ma'am, because you asked for it orally. So you orally moved, oratenously moved to have that motion heard. And we set it up for today, since we already had the hearing time carved out to address you receiving the hard copies, which seemingly has already been remedied. And last week, when we had our hearing on the 9th, I said, I don't want to lose that hearing time because we already had it carved out. So we would proceed with the hearing on the privacy issue at that point in time. You then asked for the case law. I said, absolutely, I will get it to you. Mr. J had advised that he was familiar with the case law. But regardless, it was provided to all parties and mailed to you on the 9th.
Which I have yet to receive, and I was not instructed by anyone in the court that that was an oral motion for me requesting privacy. I thought it was just a comment that I could have on record.
Ma'am, that's why we set the hearing, because it was something that you had asked for, and that's clear in the order that was provided to you on the 9th as well. It says that we would have a hearing today on the 14th.
And when did I recess?
Well, that was orally told you on the 9th. The letter itself was mailed to you on the 9th, but the order itself was read to you during the course of that hearing. Specifically, on August 14th, 2024 at 1:30 p.m., a hearing will be held in Courtroom 12A, Orange County Courthouse, 425 North Orange Avenue, Orlando, Florida, 32801, regarding defendant's review of the USB drug drive, which contains the state digital evidence, the defendant's August 7th letter to the court, delivered to the court on August 9, and the media's participation in the physical evidence viewing on September November 3, 2024. The pertinent case law is attached. That was all addressed with you, ma'am, on August 9 here in open court.
In the order I have yet to receive.
But it was read to you, ma'am. It was read to you as to what we would be doing today and that we would addressing the issue regarding the media's participation. And that's when you asked for the case law. And I said, I will give it to you. Absolutely. And it was all mailed to you on the 9th.
I'm not ever sure of what it is that I'm supposed to be doing with, I guess now, oral and also in writing. And again, I'm sitting here waiting empty-handed for everything that was mailed to me day before yesterday and or could have been readily available on the internet, which I do not have access to. So I'm guessing that your verbalization of the order that you read to me, which I have not received, is supposed to suffice.
Ma'am, you were told about the hearing in open court on Friday, August 9th.
If I knew to be prepared, I know that everyone knows that I would be prepared. I am unprepared, because of.
That's certainly your opinion that you're entitled to. Any reason for Ms. Fugate to remain state?
Okay. From the state.
All right. Ms. Boone, any reason why counselor for the Orlando Sentinel and WFTV should remain?
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
In addition to what was set to be addressed today, which was the Ms. Boone's review of the USB jump drive, which contained the state's digital evidence, Ms. Boone's August 7th letter regarding her requests from the Orange County Jail. Mr. Jay, you made reference to a potential change in the September 3rd meeting. I want to hear about that, sir.
I believe we have reached an alternative solution to an evidence view with the defendant. And as soon as that is accomplished to both parties' satisfaction, then I will notify the JA so that she
okay.
can know its value.
Can you explain to me what the proposed plan is for the viewing?
There will be a time and place where evidence will be brought, defendant will be brought, and she will be given as much opportunity to experience an evidence viewing like a defense attorney as possible. Her investigator will be there and allowed to take photographs and ask he wants a particular bag of evidence opened so that it photographed, inspected, tested, copied as provided by 320 in the criminal rules, then it's brought back to where it's stored and then brought back to Orange County.
Okay. Have you had a conversation with Ms. Boone prior to today regarding this proposal?
Well, Mr. Lane has indicated
her position. Okay, all right. Ma'am, I don't want to go into specifics of what you've had with your investigator, but has he relayed to you what Mr. Jay just advised the court of?
Yes, to a certain degree, it has not been fully explained because it is in the process spoken about the two of them. But yes, I do know that that is a solution to my request.
Okay, and did you understand what Mr. Jay advised the court of today regarding how that process for you viewing the physical evidence would be?
If you can do so again.
Sure. If you could explain it again for Ms. Boone, Mr. Jay.
Sure. When a defense attorney wants to do an evidence view, they have to go to where the evidence is stored and want to. He or she can bring an investigator. As photographs so requested. They don't let attorney in front for herself. CSI present as well. I'm investigator, law enforcement, and then up the RPU aspect of evidence. For instance, my clothes front, back, got excited it out. Those sort of documents by investigator between each piece of evidence. The new cutting paper, butcher paper laid down so that it'll emanate interest. And based on how the process goes on, it gets opened, it'll get sealed by the CSI right there in front of all of us. I'll reseal the paper and initial over a few days, so everybody will be on the same date why it was open.
And if I may,
people that are not involved with the case will not.
And if I may, if my phone
gets. If it is stored in physical evidence, then brought over, we're not going to turn it on, photographed or photographically examined, but in order for turned on, have done different Faraday box, room, or electronic.
I need to write a motion.
Well, what? Phone brought over and turned on?
If I can extract any type of information.
So, like we discussed in the last hearing, that would be up to you to hire a forensic examiner and would make a ring that first shifts the phone in the same manner that I want.
Okay. All right. Then, ma'am, after having Mr. J explain that alternative solution to the evidence viewing, is that something that you would like to participate?
Absolutely.
Okay. So then, is it the party's agreement to no longer have the evidence viewing here in open court on September 3?
That's the state's position, but again, been doing this long enough to know that you can never predict every possible hiccup, but I will defer to the court if you want to free up your hearing time now or wait until we're able to tell you that we're satisfied.
Okay. Ms. Boone, are you in agreement with that alternative solution?
At the Orange County Sheriff's Department?
Wherever the viewing is going to take place. I don't know that a specific location was identified, but yes, where it's going to take place.
I am.
Okay, so then here's what we'll do. I will keep the hearing for now. The deadline to have that viewing as set forth in the August 5 scheduling order and notice of hearing will remain of September 3. If that evidence viewing takes place at a law enforcement agency, based on the protocol as identified by Mr. J. I'll just need a notice that's provided, signed by Ms. Boone, signed by the state, signed by Investigator Lane, as to when it took place and how long the viewing was. And if that's provided to me, we'll then cancel the September 3rd hearing.
Yes, we'll do that, and we can even list physical items.
My only question about that is we had sealed at the last hearing the witness list and the exhibit list.
I think all the property receipts and all those sorts of things are already in the public record.
Okay.
The vast difference between a list of evidence that's already in the public record versus having them look at it with television cameras.
Okay. All right. Fine. Ma'am, are you amenable to that additional procedure that after the evidence viewing takes place, you would sign a notice reflecting when and how long that evidence viewing was?
Right.
Okay. And then once that's provided to the court, it can be filed, and then the court will cancel the September 3rd hearing. Yes, ma'am.
Done by the state?
The state will prepare it.
Documents and bring
yes, ma'am. The state will prepare it. All you need to do is just review it and sign it. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. J, for providing an alternative solution. Ma'am, I wanted to go back and address your request for the freedom of movement motion that we addressed last week and your desire to use a stun cuff. I understand that a representative from the public defender's office spoke to you about clothing and what they may be able to provide to you. Is there any preference with regard to clothing that you may have?
As opposed to a skirt and pants?
Correct.
Yes, I very much would prefer to wear a skirt.
Okay. So if you wear a skirt, as explained to you by Officer Barnett, the stun cuff is located on your calf Achilles area. It would be something that would be viewable by the jury. So you do you understand that if you choose to wear a skirt for clothing purposes, that's going to be viewable by the jury?
I understand. My belief by you asked was that maybe it can move to a higher place where it cannot be seen, or is it strictly to the one area?
As Mr. Barnett or Officer Barnett explained at the last hearing, how the stun cuff is affixed to a person, it is on the lower leg ankle area.
Okay, I'm not understanding why this is being asked.
Because I want to bring it to your attention that if you have a desire to wear clothing which would reveal the stun cuff, I want you to understand that it's something that the jury can and may be able to see.
I understand. The decision I need to make today?
It's something that you need to consider.
I have.
If you're wearing pants, they obviously cannot see it. If you're wearing a skirt, they can see it. And you're making an intelligent, knowing decision that they can see that and that you want to proceed with wearing a skirt. Your other option, if you do not like either of those, is the parties will remain, you'll be hands-free, as we discussed, but you'll have the leg restraints like you have today. And everyone will conduct everything from counsel's table. All direct examinations and cross-examinations, any questioning of any witnesses, any argument, any opening remarks or closing statements, closing arguments or opening statements will be made from counsel's table. You can certainly stand, but we will not have the opportunity to walk around the courtroom. Now, I know that we talked about in our last hearing that we would have another hearing when we have our trial case management in September addressing the box as to where everybody would go to. And last week on the 9th, I said that we would limit access to from counsel's table to the podium, and we wouldn't be allowed to approach a witness or the jury, and those same restrictions would be placed on the state as well. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you a series of options. Because if you want to wear a skirt, you have to understand that the jury can and will be able to see that device that's affixed to your leg.
And by my hearings that we have spoken about the stun cuff, they are televised, correct?
To the best of my knowledge, the media has participated in the majority, if not all, of the hearings that this court has had with you.
Does the court broadcast live, or is it uploaded to the clerk of court's website?
What is broadcasted live?
My hearing. In regards to all of them, basically, but recently the stun cuff, is there anyone that wouldn't know that I'm already wearing it if they could see it or not?
I can't speak to what everybody else knows.
So if I may, please, my options are pants hiding the stun cuff, or a skirt with it being visible, or I am able to sit here at the counsel's table with legs on and no one is able to move except we're here at counsel's.
You'll certainly have the opportunity to stand, but we wouldn't be able to move around the courtroom, and those same restrictions would be placed upon the state.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm that those were my options.
Correct.
And when do I need to make that decision?
You don't have to make that decision today. It's something that we can address at the trial case management in September. Ms. Click, I see you raising your hand.
Your Honor,
if you could, before you get to it, and just announce yourself for the record, please. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Boom is and you have
Okay. Ma'am, did you have the opportunity to hear what Ms. Click said?
I did.
Do you have any questions for her?
What it is you all have available, the numbers?
Ma'am, do you have any other questions for Ms. Click regarding the clothing that the public defender is endeavoring to provide for you?
And if I do come to the decision, I can't always have someone externally bring something in.
I've always had someone by the property and
yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for her? Can Ms. Click be excused?
Thank you,
ma'am. The next issue that I wanted to address was the review of the digital discovery. Ma'am, Mr. Lane was provided at our last hearing on the 9th the hard copies of the discovery, the USB jump drive, which contained the state's digital evidence, and digital transcripts of the depositions of Detectives Chelsea Kopsel and Scott Lowen. And he was to meet with you on Saturday at 9 o'clock. Did that meeting take place?
It did.
Okay. What was provided to you, if anything, at that meeting?
What he and I did.
What was provided to you? What was given to you by Investigator Lane?
Digital evidence we went over, and we're still reviewing the discovery, but I don't recall anything physically.
Okay, all right. And when you say that you went over the digital evidence, are you referring to the USB drive with the 9 items that were identified in the state's exhibit list?
Yes, I do have that. We have not included going through that. We have other meetings tentatively scheduled, which we will be concluding that also in order to meet the deadline for the objections of the 23rd of August.
Okay. How many of those 9 items were you able to review with Mr. Lane on Saturday?
Not more than one.
Okay. Were you able to access all of the 9 items on that USB drive?
For the brief moment that he and I were able to attempt to do so, yes, they seemed to work.
Okay, you did not have any issues opening up any of those files?
I personally, myself, did not open all of them.
Okay, all right, okay.
It's on our to-do list.
Ma'am, Mr. Lane also took possession of the hard copies. Have those been provided to you?
They have. They were waiting at the dorm for me upon my return of the last hearing.
Okay. And where are they currently?
They're located at my bunk area.
Okay. And what are they stored, or how are they stored?
The hard copies you're referring to?
Yes, ma'am.
Two boxes are at my bunk on the next, on the side in between other bunks.
Okay. All right. Are they in some type of bag, or is it just the two boxes that are right there?
Just the two boxes.
Okay. All right. Do you understand that, you've told me that you live in the female dormitory with limited privacy. You understand by keeping those boxes there, there may be a risk as to other persons looking at them.
I don't have any other choice.
Okay, but do you understand that that risk exists?
Of course.
Okay. Do you understand that there's a risk that those items could disappear?
I understand.
Okay. All right. Do you understand that it's your request and choice to keep those documents in your possession?
I do, and I'm also requesting in my letter to the captain and to the major to also be able to store all of the USB drives and the hard drive, my locked drawer, also for an extra security measure.
Okay. All right. I see that we'd have Investigator Lane here. Sir, if you can come back. Madam Clerk's going to go ahead and swear you in.
I do.
Sir, good afternoon. Could you state your name for the record and your affiliation with Prison Break Investigations?
Billy Lane, owner and chief investigator of Prison Break Investigations.
All right. Thank you, sir. I did see that your notice that you provided regarding the distribution or providing the discovery. You provided the hard copies and the USB with the digital and the USB with the depositions of the two detectives.
Right.
Okay. All right, sir. And when you met with Ms. Boone on Saturday, again, I don't want to go into any specifics, but were there any issues accessing any of those USB drives or any of the files?
Not at the progression in which we made through the files.
Okay. All right. Very good. But as of right now, there's been no issues as to access from what you've reviewed. Okay. All right. State, do you have any questions for Mr. Lane?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Ma'am, do you have any additional questions for Mr. Lane?
In regards to the drives?
Correct. Based on what was teed up for hearing today, which was addressing your review of the USB jump drive, which contains the state's digital evidence.
Mr. Lane, are you able to briefly meet with downstairs after this concludes?
I'm not sure if that's admissible with policy procedures.
Any other questions for him, ma'am?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Can he be released?
Yes.
All right, State.
Your Honor, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Okay. The next, ma'am, is your letter from August 7th to Captain DiGiovanni, which is the court has had the opportunity to read. I believe that we have a representative from the Orange County Jail who's appearing virtually. If you could please unmute yourself and turn on your camera, whoever it is that may be appearing from the Orange County Jail. I have an Administrative Sergeant DeJesus on the link.
Good afternoon, Judge. This is Captain Gina DiGiovanni with Orange County Corrections. I'm the captain of the Female Detention Center And yes, I have Administrative Sergeant Stephanie DeJesus with me.
All right, very good.
I also want to make it clear that I have Orange County Corrections Department Legal Counsel Scott Chevanel on the phone with me.
Okay, very good. If all of you can, if the Captain DiGiovanni and Sergeant DeJesus, if you could please, I only see you, Captain. If Sergeant DeJesus can come into frame, we'll have Madam Clerk swear you in. If you both can raise your right hands.
Yes, ma'am.
I do.
All right. Could you both state your names for the record for me again?
Administrative Sergeant Stephanie DeJesus.
Captain Gina DiGiovanni, Security Operations, Female Detention Center, Phoenix Facility, Genesis Facility.
And can I get appearances for legal counsel for the Department of Corrections, please?
Scott Chevanel, County Attorney's Office, representing the Department of Corrections.
Okay. All right. Very good. Captain, have you had the opportunity to review Ms. Boone's August 7th letter regarding some of the requests that she has in this case?
Yes. And if it's okay with you, Judge, I'd like to address each request one by one. Do you have a copy of the letter?
I do. We can proceed with the seven different items that she has requested.
So with number one, the request to have her review time extended, I can make the extension in the following fashion. We'd still have to collect the laptop at 4 p.m. This gives the staff and supervisors the ability to conduct the afternoon headcount, conduct the meal dinner service, conduct the shift change, and then the evening headcount. I am willing to allow her Sunday and Thursday to get the laptop and the USB drives from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and Friday night and Saturday night from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. That is more than the requested time that she has asked for additional viewing.
More continuing coverage in the Suitcase Murder. The trial of Sarah Boone is on the way from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now.